and soul of America. Broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, it's David Knight.
Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. And now, Rob Duke.
The end cannot justify the means. We know the patterns of totalitarianism. The single political party. The control of the schools, press, radio, the arts, the sciences, and the church to support autocratic authority. These are the age-old patterns against which men have struggled for 3,000 years. These are the signs of reaction, retreat, and retrogression. The world at large is aware of the tragic consequences for human beings ruled by totalitarian systems. Politically, men must be free to discuss and to arrive at as many facts as possible, and there must be at least a two-party system in a country, because when there is only one political party, too many things can be subordinated to the interests of that one party, and it becomes a tyrant. And not an instrument of democratic government. Freedom for the individual is an inseparable part of the cherished traditions of our nation. As a citizen of the United States, I pray to Almighty God that we may win another victory here for the rights and freedoms of all men. Thank you. Okay, so who was it? Who do you think it was? Who said that? Lincoln? Who else? One more guess. Not you. You know. Jefferson. That was Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt, 1948, speaking about the Soviet Union. And for me, I felt like it was appropriate to bring that speech up again today, because these ideals used to be bedrock in this country. These ideals, this way of thinking, used to be something upon which we all agreed, upon which the left, the right, agreed upon. But now we've become so far apart that we've lost those core ideals that make us American. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Okay, that's Jack Posoba doing a great job fighting the globalists. I'm going to be getting up here speaking, then some of my lawyers are going to be speaking and breaking some exclusive stuff. In fact, some of this stuff's so amazing now, we're not even sure we want to release it all quite yet, but it's incredible who is funding this thing publicly, and that the lawsuit looks like it was written by a three-year-old. It's just bizarre how they take the Soros money and then do this, but it is designed to overturn the First Amendment. Now, Dr. Jerome Corsi, great patriot, three-time number one New York Times bestselling author who's helped really decide at least one major election. He's been targeted. He's been demonized. He's being censored. He's going to be up here speaking. He's also an Infowars.com reporter. He's coming up here in just a minute. But first, Roger Stone's here. He's going to be speaking towards the end. I wanted to briefly bring Roger up here because Roger's got some big breaking news that he's also going to be laying out coming up. Now, again, he's just going to give you a little preview of this, and then he'll be back in about 45 minutes. Towards the end, we're going to have a question and answer as well for the press that's here, and we're also going to obviously have these live streams continuing. But, Roger, I wanted you to just give people a preview of what's coming up before Dr. Corsi speaks.
Thank you, Alex. I'm delighted to be here. I'm honored to be here. I'm glad that Alex Jones said, get me Roger Stone. 2016 was the year in which the mainstream media lost their hammerlock, their complete monopoly on political discourse in this country. Donald Trump's election, in fact, the entire sea change in American politics, was only made possible through a robust and vibrant alternative media allowed through an unfettered internet. Now, those who realize they have made a mistake by having such an open dialogue seek to put the toothpaste.
You found it. real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
You're watching an Infowars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp, live from Washington, D.C. And now, Roger Stone.
But you see, those who are the perps in that crime don't want any discussion of that crime in the mainstream or the alternative media. And that is why they seek, through a very, I think, duplicitous strategy of lawfare and censorship, to shut us down. It has many different parts. The key to this, of course, is the lawsuits, and I'm facing one from an Obama-blessed front called Project Democracy, who are suing me and Donald Trump, the allegation being that we worked with the Russians to hack the Democratic National Committee and give that material to WikiLeaks. That is as unprovable in a court of law as it will be unprovable in the court of public opinion, because it's a fairy tale, a falsehood, a lie, a canard, a steaming plate of, well, you know. The point here, of course, is that before, if they can silence us, if they can take us off of Facebook, off of Twitter, off of YouTube, if they can silence your voice, it becomes much easier to drive their false narrative about the 2016 election, their false narrative about the unconstitutional activities going on today, whether it is raiding Donald Trump's lawyer's office, whether it is breaking into a storage locker that Paul Manafort owns without a warrant, or whether it is the illegal surveillance of the Republican candidate for president under FISA warrants that were fabricated in their rationale, fabricated in their purpose. And then, of course, there's the Second Amendment. Silence us before you attempt to take away our Second Amendment rights. This is a struggle. This is the single most important struggle. Why? Because without our voice, all other issues, trade, immigration, the economy, we are at an enormous disadvantage. The real story here is that the American left no longer is interested in dialogue or debate. They can't win a debate. They don't want a debate. They don't want a discussion of issues. Their answer when we raise facts and arguments is silence them, censor them, close them down. That's why you know they have lost. Thank you.
And Roger's going to be back up later getting into the raid on the president's New York building and on his lawyer, now Robert Mueller's, over Stormy Daniels. That's, I guess they're going to find some Russian intel in her underwear drawer. So that's where this is all going. But we're here today specifically on the hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits being filed and financed by George Soros, the Democratic Party, being launched by Hillary's former law clerks, you name it, against InfoWars and against many, many others. I've had 13 of them filed, six, now seven have been disappeared, and we're preparing to have countersuits and some other things as well, just to basically punish the people for filing these frauds. So I'm going to be breaking that down in detail here in just a moment. But again, Dr. Jerome Corsi now is going to say a few words about the attack and the attempt to overturn the First Amendment so that all the others collapse.
I'm Jerome Corsi, and it's a real pleasure to be here today. I've been a member of this club for many years. Great to have Alex here. I want you to know, I view this as we're at the beginning here of the what is going to be a second American Revolution. And it's a second American Revolution, I believe, that is being waged by millions of anonymous people all across the country who are putting their voices behind freedom and behind the Constitution. What's going on right now, and I think the special prosecutor in his thug motions lately, no reason to do anything as he did with Michael Cohen yesterday. I've known Michael Cohen for many, many years. Michael Cohen's a gentleman. He's loyal to Donald Trump, and he would gladly have complied with anything the special prosecutor reasonably asked to be done. He didn't. The special prosecutor did not need to treat Michael Cohen like a criminal, breaking into his office, his home. This is thuggery. This is not the way the United States of America is to be conducted. This is a complete violation of civil rights and civil behavior. What's at stake now is the Constitution itself, because as I maintained in the book I currently have written, Killing the Deep State, that what we have right now is a coup d'etat that was launched within the FBI and has spread across the entire justice system, the CIA, into the Obama White House. And the crimes that have been committed are most easily defined as treason. And I believe that President Trump will begin quickly here a counterattack in which the real crimes will be prosecuted. The real crimes being Hillary Clinton and John Podesta, whom I read a chapter, were virtually on Putin's payroll. Were being paid millions of dollars for having sold military secrets and the reset to Russia, including this hypersonic technology. We are at a crossroads in which we have to defend the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the Constitution itself. And I know of no better champion of the Constitution, our freedom, than Alex Jones. It's been my honor and privilege to be with Alex now going on to a second year, and I'm honored to have him here at the club, and I want to turn the podium back over to Alex, and thank you for all coming out here today. But what we're here to do is to celebrate freedom and to make sure we pursue the First Amendment vigorously in all the spirit with which it was written. And as I say, I know no one better to champion that theme, our Constitution, the First Amendment, than Alex Jones. Thank you.
First off, again, thanks for coming out today. I'm going to have one of my lawyers speak with some really important information. Andrew Grossman, a lot of you obviously know him from seeing him on C-SPAN and Fox News, you name it, as you know, a leading First Amendment lawyer and a scholar and expert, to break down this lawsuit against us, which is like all the others, totally new in law. And that's from the lawyers, that's from the experts. I haven't just gotten some of the best counsel in the country here in D.C. I've gone to other counsel professors and had them look at it, other top First Amendment trial lawyers, and they say that what it is propaganda, 50, 60, 70, 80-page filings that then defame myself, the First Amendment, the President Trump, you name it, where they just say all these horrible things that aren't true, things that we never said, knowing that they are protected in defamation inside the court. So they sue you for defamation. They put the defamation in their filing against you. The dying corporate media then picks it up and goes out and puts it out as gospel and then calls for InfoWars as a precedent-setting case to be deplatformed. And going back about 2 months ago, the CEO, the new CEO of News Corp, while they're merging with Disney, said, we're going to shut down WikiLeaks and Alex Jones and ISIS, put us together. And he said, once we've shut them down, he said he just met with the tech giants, Google, Facebook, Twitter, we're going to deplatform everybody, and you'll have about 100 choices. This was in the Wall Street Journal. About 100 choices, and then we're going to make hundreds of billions of dollars. And others picked it up and had the headlines. Hold on to your tinfoil hat, Alex Jones, because YouTube is about to ban you. And then they removed videos and said that we said no one died at Parkland and that they were all crisis actors and 24, 25 years old. There was no video of that. They removed our videos and said those videos said that. There was a problem. I had a platform. We re-uploaded the exact videos, the exact files. They got over now 14 million views in about 3 days, Drudge linked to it, and everyone saw students saying, we saw the sheriff's department stand down. That was the videos. Was the students saying that Coward County stood down. And now we knew why they took them down 3 days in. We were the first to report that. We have the students on, and we showed the local news clips that they didn't want to get out nationally. And that's why they...
You're watching an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C.
Is
And now, Alex Jones.
We're pro-America. We try to tell the truth. Doesn't mean we don't get some things wrong sometimes. And they don't like the fact that we can challenge their narrative. They didn't want you to hear from those students that saw the stand down. They didn't want the story to be about the stand down. They want it to be about, oh, these four students they'd chosen out of 3,000 to be the poster children for disarming the American people. So they've told us, we don't like you putting out different talking points, different ideas than what the Soros Democratic Party-funded media wants. And that's the real sin of InfoWars. And that's why we've got to be misrepresented as racist, as Russian agents, as saying Alex Jones believes that there's Martian slave colonies. There's no video. There's no audio. There's no nothing. There's nothing. I had a leftist CIA agent on a totally another subject. And he just blurts that out. And then kind of smiles, like, handed me the bomb. I mean, that, and then the media hits it and says, Jones says there's Martian bases. They're the ones with the fake news. I mean, imagine cooking that up. Now get on there and say there's Martian bases with slave kids, and then say Jones said it. That's the fake news. There is no video of that. There is no video. There is video of me talking about gay frogs. And that's admitted with the atrazine. All I was reading, like the Journal of Nature, like 8 years ago, they went, oh, my God, we got him now. No one will believe that. We'll cut the Journal of Nature off the front. And it's just Jones saying, the atrazine's turning the friggin' frogs gay. And so, again, you're off the races. They've branded me as that. And so yeah, it makes me pretty popular at my kids' school when I go there, because that's the big joke. It's gay frog, man. It's the new superhero. It's kind of mutated now that I'm the gay frog, so... There you go. Warn people about toxic chemicals, and then you become the toxic Avenger. But instead, in 2018, it's Mr. Gay Frog. So there you go. Mr. Gay Frog, you may disagree with him, but I think I have some free speech rights. So let me just get into some of these points on the lawsuit in the specifics, and then we're going to have Mr. Grossman up here, who's the real expert. Continuing with this war on free speech, this really is an attack on the First Amendment. And if that falls, everything else falls. And as Americans, we should all agree that there should be a First Amendment, and we should all be able to look at the facts and know when university, taxpayer-funded university, because Georgetown claims it's private, it's massively publicly funded, so is their so-called civil rights or free speech clinic that now actively tries to overturn the First Amendment. So here are some of those points. This lawsuit is an assault on the First Amendment right to free speech. It isn't just about myself. But it's about every single American who exercises their right to say what they think about what they see reported in the media and by the government. If Mr. Gilmore wins, Brennan Gilmore, we will lose that right. We're not just saying that. Lawyers across the board have said, if this guy actually won, it's not really him, it's the law professors that are, and the whole board Soros funded. It's just incredible. The whole board, if Soros wins, the literal Nazi collaborator that has overthrown all these other countries, if he wins with all his paychecks he sends out, then this will be the repeal of the First Amendment by fiat. And look at the universities. They are now engines of anti-free speech on record. They are now cancers, almost to a one, that do want to overturn the First Amendment as well. And if a woman dare tries to come and speak from any position they don't like, men will beat her in the head with bike locks till she goes to the hospital, and the mainstream media will say, Antifa needs to be violent fighting these Nazis. They will defame you and call you a Nazi and say you deserve to die. That's the universities. They are now Maoist centers. In fact, they even have adopted at the University of Texas and other ones Maoist nomenclature. They call themselves Red Guards. That's what Antifa really is. They're communist, and they say, we are going to take your free speech. So that's their street-level enforcers as well. But every time they arrest these Antifa people, it turns out they're professors wearing a mask that are out hitting women in the head with bike locks. This is the type of folks we're talking about. Everyone's mean that this lawsuit is a mess and that it's going to be thrown out of court. But we are taking it seriously because the stakes are so high. There are so many problems with the lawsuit that it's hard to know where to begin. There's the First Amendment issue, and that's the reason enough to get it thrown out. But there are so many other things. Like, the complaint doesn't even say how the things we actually said on InfoWars are wrong in any way that matters. And even if I did get something wrong, the complaint never shows that we knew about it and that it was intentional. The Supreme Court says the plaintiff has to show, but there's nothing in the complaint, just some propaganda. I mean, no facts. Then there's the technical thing, personal jurisdiction, basically. He has to show that we reached out specifically to the state of Virginia when he put the videos online, again, noting that just some propaganda has been put out. And just continues with, and I'm trying to research the filing itself. Everybody should read it. In fact, were we able to print off a bunch of these and bring these today? Because anybody wants one, we've got our counter petition here to have this thrown out of court there so you can read it for yourself. And we've got all the quotes, we've got all the facts, we've got all the information here, and nowhere in it do they show any proof of what they're saying. They also put things in the suit, again, that we never said. They say that I said A, but then I really said C. I mean, that's what's so scary about this is, when you talk about the definition of fake news, the definition of fraud and propaganda, that's what this is. But continuing with some of my notes here, and then I'm going to move on to other folks so we can get to the question and answer, the real reason most of you are actually here today. It's just shocking that we're here in Washington, D.C., having to openly try to raise the alarm for the defense of free speech. And what do we have here mainly? Alternative new media, which in many cases is bigger than mainstream media. But notice you don't see so-called mainstream corporate media here predominantly because they have decided to circle the wagons and they have decided to unify behind a project and an operation that the CEO of News Corp openly talked about 2 months ago that I mentioned earlier to end the First Amendment as we know it, because they were arrogant previously and thought that they could just ignore the independent media and that, oh, it was just ragtag groups and, oh, you know, they're the establishment media in the $100 million studios. But as they've learned that on election week, I had 86 million viewers and listeners. That's actually people that tuned in and listened or watched. And when they saw that, and they realized that I had, on average, 30 to 45 million tuning in every week before that, and they saw our new plateau every week of about 50 million tuning in, they said, we've got to shut this down. But they were always arrogant. Before, Drudge Report's been the biggest news site in the United States for 20 years. And up until about 2 years ago, they were still saying, Drudge is going down, Drudge is going to fall apart, Drudge is over, Drudge is a joke. And he was always bigger than they were. And now they finally don't say that anymore. They go, okay, it's the second biggest website period in the world and the largest news site in the world by an order of many, many magnitudes. So a website that two or three people run has more traffic than all of the mainstream media combined. And then you go down from there and you've got InfoWars, even on their own rigged rating services like Alexa, run by Amazon and Jeff Bezos, where we're thousands of rating levels ahead of MSNBC.com. So again, how do they deal with a website that's got 10 people working at it and it's got many, 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 many times the traffic? I mean, some days thousands of times the traffic. The mainstream media, the mainstream culture, the mainstream establishment, universities, and the power elite of both political parties have been rejected. There is a global political realignment taking place on a planetary scale.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
You're watching an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. And now, Alex Jones.
In the middle of a very, very serious global revolution. And it's up to all of us to be the Paul Revere's in the modern age to raise the alarm. So I commend the press that's here. You know, I see people right here like Mr. Kincaid. I remember when he used to be on CNN on Crossfire, back when that show had up to 15 million viewers because they had real people on there having real debates. Now he's here with his little camera, you know, writing his news articles. But he's just as important as he ever was, you see. But That's the example of why did mainstream media die? It wasn't just that the competition came along. They got rid of all the real debate. They got rid of the people that weren't just following talking points but had their own ideas. They got rid of the real diversity in media that made it interesting to tune into. And I remember in high school watching Crossfire and you know tuning in to see all these people debate and have their arguments for Pat Buchanan to you name it. But now, again, it's not real anymore. It's all just cookie cutter reading off teleprompters, and that's why the mainstream media is dead, because they committed suicide. The mainstream media killed itself by becoming nothing but repeaters and nothing but parrots that put out corporate and globalist and socialist garbage. And now as they slide into the grave like the Crypt Keeper, like reanimated zombies, mainstream media from MSNBC to CNN to the Washington Post are trying to drag us into the grave of history with them when history is on our side. The globalists are going to lose. They will never be able to suppress free speech. Just 2 days ago, the CEO of Twitter said, "We will have a bloodless revolution," that's a quote, "and we will crush American conservatives. We will crush their free speech." That sounds like famous last words of other dictators we've heard of before. Think of the arrogance of these billionaires. "I will crush you. We will crush you." We already know we've been shadow banned for years. We already know you've been censoring us. We already know you have bots piling on to try to use peer pressure to make us give up. That only makes us fight harder. And guess what? It's not just Donald Trump getting elected. It's all over the world. Populists are getting elected and the establishment is panicking. Getting back to the lawsuit, I'm going to have my distinguished lawyer come up here and break this down for folks. The heart of the matter is that we never said the things that Mr. Gilmore is complaining about in this political lawsuit funded by George Soros. He says that we reported that he's involved in some kind of shadowy government conspiracy to kill the protester in Charlottesville and stage a coup to overthrow President Trump. I don't know where he got that one from. It wasn't from us. Yes, George Soros has said he wants to overthrow Trump. They bought full-page ads in the New York Times. And yes, they funded Antifa. That's what we were talking about. Not saying he was George Soros or that he was the whole operation. No, he just went and took photos. He's an innocent guy. And we never said anything about him, saying that he was involved hurting that lady that died that got run over. We said Soros funding Antifa mobs around the country and the police standing down and making both groups of protesters clash into each other are partly to blame, just like the stand down in Coward County at the Parkland School. But again, instead of facing that legitimate issue, it gets turned into this whole new paper tiger to project onto us. What Mr. Gilmore, and again, I think he's a good guy, what Soros and the university is doing with taxpayer money, what he's doing here is twisting our words beyond all recognition so that he can play the victim and bring a lawsuit against myself and get headlines. And that's what the university is really looking for, headlines against the First Amendment. He seems to be enjoying it, and he is a public figure. He's writing articles about it, and it did get him a lot of headlines when he did file it. Will there be that many headlines when it gets thrown out of court? Again, in completion, this isn't just a regular lawsuit, and this is critical. There's a special term for it, a strategic lawsuit against public participation, or SLAP. What that means is a lawsuit filed to punish someone for their speech, to force legal expenses on them. It's an abuse of the legal system. It's a weaponization of the legal system to intimidate and bully and stifle the First Amendment. That's why so many states have anti-SLAPP laws that go beyond the First Amendment to get these kind of cases dismissed first and then punish the plaintiff for filing it in the first place. Soros has deep pockets. The Democrats have deep pockets. They've got taxpayer money and all these grants they're funneling into Georgetown. That should be investigated. Congress should investigate it. They claim they're a private university. But see, it's the people that are used, the pawns that are brought in by the Democrats and told you've been wronged and who are signed on to these. There was even a Daily Beast article that had a top lawyer in there saying this is very dangerous. These plaintiffs, they're not just in this case but in others, that are suing Jones, these lawsuits openly are just to demonize Jones and the First Amendment and are pieces of defamatory propaganda. They're going to end up getting sued. They're going to end up losing slap because they state in the lawsuits, we want to destroy Jones. This is to teach Jones a lesson. And then when we show that what they're saying isn't true, it's the definition of malice aforethought and intent to do harm. Again, inversion. Defame, lie, file it in court, have the media then parrot it out everywhere else, and then try to intimidate and destroy people. Talk about diabolical. It is diabolical because it's coming right out of George Soros. The Texas statute requires a slap plaintiff to pay all the defendant's expenses and also sanctions, and we've got three lawyers on it just in this lawsuit, to stop it from happening again. We're asking the court here to find that the lawsuit is a slap and to make Brendan Gilmore pay our expenses. The point is that you shouldn't be able to do this kind of thing with impunity, and we want to make sure that Brendan Gilmore and the world think twice before they decide to take someone to court over protected speech. And in closing, I'll say this. I wish Mr. Gilmore no harm, but we need to send messages to all these folks when the lawyers and the professors involved are saying, we will never settle. We want to destroy Jones. This isn't in the public venue, jumping around like they are in heaven, like they're at a party. And then you read what's in the lawsuit and almost none of it's true or it's twisted. Again, this is an assault on all of you, an assault on the press, an assault on the heart of this republic, right as we're trying to have a new renaissance and bring the nation back. Again, I want to thank everybody that's come here. I want to bring up now Andrew Grossman, again, who many of you will recognize from national television, C-SPAN, Fox News, you name it. He is a well-respected across the country as one of the top scholars when it comes to the First Amendment. So here he is. Thanks for being here, sir. And thanks for taking the case. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Grossman. I'm a partner at the law firm Baker Hostetler. I represent Alex and InfoWars in the lawsuit that was filed by Brendan Gilmore. This morning, we asked the district court to dismiss Mr. Gilmore's lawsuit, to require Mr. Gilmore to reimburse InfoWars for the expense of responding to his lawsuit, and to sanction Mr. Gilmore for using a federal court to wage a publicity stunt. Now, let me be clear about this. Mr. Gilmore's claims against Alex Jones and InfoWars are legally defective. We are confident that the suit will be thrown out of court. But make no mistake, vexatious lawsuits like this one are dangerous, because they seek to chip away at our cherished First Amendment rights. The First Amendment gives all Americans the right to have their say on the day's news. Alex Jones thought it was strange that Mr. Gilmore was popping up in all the media coverage on the events in Charlottesville with what seemed like the same anti-Trump talking points every time. And that is exactly what Mr. Jones questioned. Was the media, with Mr. Gilmore's eager assistance, spinning the story against President Trump? That is the kind of probing question that every cable news analyst, every columnist, and every American who cares about what's going on in this country asks every day. They try to make sense of what they see and reported in the news, and then they say what they think. The First Amendment absolutely protects that speech. Now, Mr. Gilmore disagrees. He obviously opposes Alex Jones's political viewpoint. He says that InfoWars is not what he considers to be responsible journalism, and that it can therefore be suppressed. His lawyers say that the law should distinguish between speech that informs the public and speech that they think misinforms the public. But the whole point of the First Amendment is that people like Mr. Gilmore and his lawyers do not get to decide whether their political opponents are allowed to have a voice. They do not get to decide what the public is allowed to hear. That fundamental misunderstanding of our First Amendment rights is just one of the reasons that Mr. Gilmore's suit has to be thrown out. Another reason is that InfoWars did not defame Mr. Gilmore. His lawsuit says that Alex Jones asserted that he...
You may be right, I may be crazy. Oh, but it just...
You're watching an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C.
And that he planned or participated in James Alex Fields Jr.'s car attack in Charlottesville on August 12, 2017. It's a mouthful. Alex Jones did not say any of those things, any more than he accused Mr. Gilmore of participating in a conspiracy to fake the moon landing or of aiding and abetting a takeover of the United States government by space aliens. There is not a single word in Alex Jones's commentary about Mr. Gilmore inciting violence or plotting murder. All of that is the invention of Mr. Gilmore and his lawyers. They manufactured this controversy so they could file a lawsuit against Alex Jones and reap the publicity. As a matter of principle, no one should be able to drag their political opponents into court as a publicity stunt to harass them for their protected speech. That kind of abuse must have consequences, so that when people like Mr. Gilmore are thinking about filing suit, they think first before they do so. And that's why we're asking the court to find that Mr. Gilmore's lawsuit is what the law calls a strategic lawsuit against public participation. If the court agrees, Mr. Gilmore will be required to reimburse InfoWars for the expense of responding, and will be subject to additional monetary sanctions. Mr. Gilmore brought these consequences on himself. He leapt at the chance to file a lawsuit instead of exercising his own First Amendment rights to talk back. We can only hope that he will come to understand the wisdom of Justice Brandeis's words, that when it comes to fighting perceived falsehoods and fallacies, the remedy to be applied is more speech, not enforced silence. And with that, I'll turn it back to Alex. Thank you.
Now, I do want to make a point here about this Soros Georgetown attempt to repeal the First Amendment by this fraudulent lawsuit and this larger pattern. The real bullying here is of my reporters, like Leanne McAdoo, who they've also signed on to this lawsuit. She did nothing but have another reporter from another news agency, Lee Stranahan, on, and they said none of the things they say in the interview that we've painstakingly had lawyers go over and transcribe. So they just tagged her and other people on who are 100% by every measurement completely innocent of what's been said. So I want to bring Leanne McAdoo in here, one of our great reporters from InfoWars.com, who has been assaulted by this vicious George Soros attack. It's just vicious. But that's what he does.
Alex. Okay, well, bear with me because I'm like petrified of public speaking, but I thought it was much too important to be here today. Facts don't care about your feelings, right? So I'm Leanne McAdoo. I am a reporter with InfoWars, and I am here today with this kind of ragtag crew of dissenting voices because I've been named in a lawsuit simply for having the good fortune of knowing how to make a video go viral. That's it. I know that sounds crazy, but that is the precedent that is being set with this case. And that should be very concerning for anyone who is in the business of asking questions. So viral videos, right? These are a new currency in today's world that we live in. They are power. They represent power. And it's a power shift from the traditional media sources going to now the new media. And that is very scary to an empire that is used to being able to filter their propaganda through just a few channels. And so here we are. I don't think that any of us want to live in a world where there are no dissenting voices. You can take a look around at any authoritarian state and see what that looks like. It ain't freedom, okay? It's been said that, you know, I might not agree with what you have to say, I might not appreciate it or like it, but I will defend the death your right to say it. And that is the difference between those of us who enjoy and uphold our constitutional freedoms versus those who seek to eliminate wrongthink. And that's the beauty of living in this country. We have the freedom to make choices, and that's the real power. You can choose, if you don't like what someone's saying, you can choose to change the channel. Or if you don't like what they're printing, you can choose not to buy their paper. Right? And it seems as if that's the real crux here, is that's what's happening, is that a majority of Americans are no longer buying what the mainstream media is selling. They're losing a lot of money, a lot of eyes on their content, because people are changing the channel. They're making that choice to turn off the programming and tune in to the new media. The new media is there without these state-sponsored swamp tales that are being told directly from the source's mouth, right? But we're talking about deep state anonymous sources. that cannot be fact-checked. And they might not have the best interests of America at heart. We don't know, right? But these are your sources that they're telling you, whispering. You have to ask yourself, did they have the best interests of America at heart 15 years ago when they were peddling their weapons of mass destruction myth to an all too eager media who was ready and willing to help drum up support for war? A very costly war that we now know in hindsight was launched on a lie. And this was a lie the media was all too happy to tell. And now we're seeing, even now, the media is kind of rejoicing this trampling of our freedoms, even just to ensure that their preferred puppet is elected into office. I mean, is anyone paying attention? How many former intelligence agents are running as Democrats in 2018, right? We can't trust America anymore to make the right decisions of who's going to rule over them. I mean, they elected Trump, right? So we've got to get in our guys to the back door and, you know, make sure that these guys know who's boss, right? So this is how close we are to slipping into a totalitarian state. And it's not going to be under a dictator. Not yet, right? Not yet. But we can thank those who are meant to check those in power. But instead, they are lined up like lemmings in lockstep with unelected bureaucrats of the deep state and the tech left who can't beat us with ideas. So they are rallying behind censorship and shadow bans. They are pushing this idea that the aggressive, progressive agenda is the only acceptable narrative. Anyone else, eliminate the wrong thinkers, send them off for extreme rehabilitation. No dissenting voices. That's where we're headed. And it's kind of ironic because we've sort of watched over the last year as the aggressive left and the media have actually morphed into the anti-government conspiracy theorizing resistance, right? The dissenting voices. So you've got to beware of rooting for the chipping away of our civil liberties, because that leads to tyranny, and you may soon find yourself being the ones who are silenced. Thank you.
You know, Leanne's a great reporter, and she does Man on the Streets and all that, and does live interviews. But it is weird how when you get in front of cameras or in a room like this, packed full of people, it does make you nervous. I mean, even me just a little bit. But I think I'm a little nervous because we have to be here in D.C. fighting these fake lawsuits and the magnitude of it. That's not just rhetoric that they're trying to overturn the First Amendment. At the universities and online, and the heads of the tech giants have been caught on hot mics saying, we're going to censor anybody that exposes radical Islam coming into Germany on Facebook. And then now Zuckerberg's doing that here. And, you know, again, diamonds and silk. They're just such sweet ladies, been on my show many times, been all over national news, hundreds of millions of views on their YouTube, and Facebook bans them and says, you're a danger to the community, close quote. So this is a rolling snowball that's beginning to censor everybody. And it's like Matt Drudge, 2.5 years ago, I made a surprise visit to my studios in Austin, Texas, to warn everybody that he just met with a Supreme Court justice, the other conservative that didn't die a year later, but still to go unnamed, a guy kind of the target of a fake Me Too movement as well, and said, I met with him. He's met with the people in Congress. They are planning, when Hillary gets elected, to end the First Amendment and to go after everybody's free speech and create internet ghettos. And then we've all now seen that happen, except Hillary didn't get in, but they're still trying to execute the operation. They're still gearing up for this. They're still pushing it. They're still preparing it. And they're still going along as if Hillary Clinton always was going to be elected and did get elected. Now, I'm going to bring Roger Stone up here in a minute. He's got so many people out there talking to him in the hall. I'm not sure he's going to know that. So let's get Roger ready. We're about to bring him in. Quite a party going on out there in the hall. But when we sit here and talk about this attack on free speech, it's critical to understand that it's not just a leftist movement. It's a perfect storm of the dying mainstream corporate media and the dying establishment newspapers, dying of their arrogance, dying of not having competition.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
You're watching an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. And now, Alex Jones.
With, again, some of the CEOs, like the head of News Corp, who have decided that they're going to end internet freedom because they can't compete with it. So that's the big announcement. They've chosen WikiLeaks and they've chosen InfoWars as the lead elephants to take down. And when they take that down, they're taking everybody down. And that's why there's no corporate media here, is because they've been told this is the business plan. We're going to demonize and brand all media we disagree with as racist or as fake news or as Russian, so we can shut it down, and then everything else is going to be shut down, and then everyone's going to be forced to watch us, just like you're forced to watch CNN in the airports and at bus stations and at train stations and even at Trump Tower or the Trump Hotel that I was visiting for dinner last night. And I'm in there, and there's CNN on, and I shot a video. I'm like, what the hell is this? I'm sick. When I was in high school 27 years ago, they came in and put TVs in my senior year in all the classrooms, paid for by a government grant. I remember asking the teacher, and she goes, oh, here's the brochure, came with it, actually. This is paid for by the federal government, and it's CNN tailored for young people. And I'd turn it on, and America's bad. Guns are bad. All whites are evil racist. I mean, I was getting the most hardcore SJW stuff 27 years ago, and it's one reason that I woke up, because my first period class was typing when I was a senior. I hadn't taken that yet, so I decided to take typing. And I'm sitting there, and now for 10 minutes first, let's watch CNN. And I'd sit there in typing class going, I want to learn how to type better, not taking, you know, 1/6 of the class to sit here and watch 10 minutes of anti-American crap. And I had already read so many history books and things. I knew what authoritarianism was. I knew what propaganda manipulation was. And so, my God, this is like Orwellian. I'm force-fed. I'm trying to eat a steak at Trump Tower, and I got damned CNN looking down on me. And then if I'm in the airport, there it is. And a lot of, you know, restaurants, you walk in the bathroom, and there's Anderson Cooper looking down at your ding-ding. And it's like, can I just get these people out of my life? I don't want to censor them. I don't want to shut them down. I don't want to put them in prison. I just want to be able to change the channel. But I can't. Instead, it's every night on CNN. Roger Stone's a Russian agent. Alex Jones is a criminal demon. You know, George Soros was a Holocaust survivor and battled the Nazis. Alex Jones says he helped him. No, he said it on 60 Minutes. And that's why Soros has a hit out on my free speech, specifically because he doesn't want me to say that he said he had the best time of his life rounding up Jews. You can't make this stuff up. The best time in his life, I quite enjoyed it, smiling like a demon. Talk about psycho world, and he is financing a lawsuit against Leanne. Come back in here. Sweet Leanne McAdoo. Look at this. Come here. Look at this. Seriously, talk about bullying. Come back over here. Because Soros is funding that whole board, that whole deal. What do you want to say to the Nazi collaborator? I mean, he's targeting you already. You want to say something to him?
It's frightening. I mean, this is really scary, the precedent that's being set here, or at least attempting to be set with this case. I mean, anyone who has conducted an interview via Skype, you know that you have to look into the camera and go, and that's what I'm guilty of? I mean, that's crazy. That is a very bizarre sentiment. And I think,
but if you tell George Soros that he was a war hero and was secretly Captain America and that he killed Hitler, tell him you killed Hitler and he'll stop suing you.
Well, he's literally on video talking about, you know, how happy he was for his, you know, past, his childhood. But the mainstream press says that you are a liar for saying that about him. So that's the thing. They will literally have videos of George Soros, you know, saying how happy he was.
Captain America.
But that's a lie versus actually not having video of Alex Jones saying things and they just kind of make it all up. So I don't know. Where is the real fake news?
Great job, Leah. There you go. Talking about Soros. Seriously. So I want to say this. I apologize to George Soros. He actually went in on the D-Day invasion of Normandy. He personally killed 5,000 Nazis and severed Hitler's head. I'm telling you, he is a superhero, not a supervillain. They don't model James Bond movie villains after him. Actually, they admitted two James Bond villains ago was actually based on Soros and in its Quantum Group. But that's...
You found it. It's the real news. Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
You're listening to an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp, live from Washington, D.C. And now, Alex Jones.
There, they probably put that out. Anderson Cooper Jones admits tonight that it was actually George Soros. And here's hidden film footage, the OSS head from World War II, as he fights 400 SS officers who had actually turned into werewolves and then severs the head of Adolf Hitler. So, that's the truth. Soros killed Hitler. So, hail Soros! Now, let's get serious. Roger Stone with the big breaking news inside baseball on the whole Mueller thing. That's an attack on our civil rights, our voting. Voting is a form of speech. The ballot box, the, of course, jury box, the grand jury box. These are all part of our speech, part of our action. And our basic civil rights are under attack. They want to overturn the president we've elected who's turning the country around. And they believe that they were about to have their final revolution to overturn this country and bring us into globalist servitude. But we grabbed their victory out of their jaws, and they are so angry. So Roger Stone, come on up here, my friend. And we've got a few more speakers, and we're going to have a question and answer and probably have at least 45 minutes of that.
Thank you again, Alex. Oh, what Alex said is true. I think that one cannot underestimate the deep enmity that the two-party duopoly and the political government media establishment has for this president. And one cannot underestimate their intention to remove him at all costs on any basis. As I have said and written, if their Russian collusion delusion fails, and it appears to be collapsing around their ankles even as we speak, well, then we'll move on to the 29th Amendment and an argument that the president is somehow unfit to serve. You can already see people like Joe Scarborough and Don Lemon and others trying to lay the groundwork for that argument. I've known Donald Trump for 39 years. He is exactly the same today as he was when I first met him. He has an incredible memory. He is sharp as a tack. He operates from the gut, from the heart. He is instinctual. This is not a political figure who is reading talking points written by someone else, who's written a speech written by someone else, who is putting forward ideas conceived by someone else. This is a person very much like Ronald Reagan, who I also worked for, who has some very fixed big picture ideas about America and our place in the world. And everything we see today in terms of this campaign of censorship, this effort by the tech left in Silicon Valley to take away our free speech rights as a precursor to stealing the next election, and to, before they do that, nullifying the Second Amendment to make it safer for them to do so, is a reaction to the improbable, incredible election of Donald Trump. Now, we are going to have to explore the question, the broader question of surveillance in the last election. As many of you know, I am a veteran of the Nixon administration. Richard Nixon was my mentor, and he was brought down over the question of surveillance of the Democratic Party in the 1972 election. I am such an aficionado of Nixon that, yes, it's true, I have a tattoo on my back about the size of a grapefruit, which is a daily reminder that in life, when things don't go your way, when you get knocked down, when you don't succeed, when you lose, well, you have an obligation to get back up. It's a story of resiliency. It's a story of persistence. It's an American story. It also makes me the only person you know with a dick on the front and the back. Surveillance was the argument for which Nixon was essentially removed. We had a movie last week, The Post, which I've seen numerous reviews of, extolling the virtues of taking stolen documents and printing them regarding the origins of the Vietnam War. The same people who think this is the greatest movie ever made want Julian Assange jailed. Why? Because he gets documents and information from whistleblowers and he publishes it. Here's the difference between WikiLeaks and the Washington Post and the New York Times. In 11 years of publications, nothing Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have ever published has been questioned in terms of its accuracy or its authenticity. Can the New York Times say that? Can the Washington Post say that? Can CNN say that? The answer is no. So the vilification of InfoWars, the vilification of WikiLeaks, is because we stand between them and their attempt to take back the political system in this country. Those who want to impeach or remove Donald Trump should be mindful that we have a 100% increase in economic growth. The GDP in the national economy is growing at 3%. The best Barack Obama could ever do was an average of 1.5%, and we were told that was as good as it was going to get. You just don't understand. This is the new global economy. Get used to accepting less. Well, Donald Trump has disproved that. Now, I do believe that had he done the tax cuts earlier rather than the travel ban first, the tax cuts would have had greater opportunity to have traction, which would have had an even greater impact on the coming congressional elections. But that said, I still think the economy will be robust this November. Now you have the prospect in Korea of peace talks and maybe a plan to denuclearize North Korea. I think there's a high probability that Donald Trump could come back from his meetings abroad with the North Koreans with a peace deal and prosperity at home. Those who want to try to impeach him ought to be mindful of the enormous leverage that will give him with the American people. We are on the verge of both peace and prosperity. Now, it was not long ago that his critics were saying all this saber rattling with the North Koreans, why it's dangerous, it's going to lead to World War III. No, what it's led to is meaningful peace talks. Because our adversaries respect strength, they do not respect weakness. And when you have an American president who says, I'm drawing a line in the sand, and then does nothing when he sees our adversaries step over that line, you sent a message to the world that we are patsies, that we will stand for anything. Well, there's a new sheriff in town, and he's presiding over an economic and a social and a moral reform and resurgence of America. And that is why they seek to remove him. Why do they want to silence InfoWars? Because we're the tip of the spear. Because we cover the stories that no one else will cover. Because we have no corporate sponsors who say, Alex, you can't say this, you can't cover that, you can't focus on this. No, Alex Jones and InfoWars go wherever the facts lead us. That's why millions of Americans tune in every day to see what's on InfoWars. And it's also why we are the test case. Make no mistake about it. If InfoWars is strangled, if we're taken off of YouTube, if we're taken off of Facebook, if we're removed from the internet, in essence, don't think the Daily Caller is not next, or Breitbart, or Town Hall, or Gateway Pundit, or any number of other great alternative media outlets. We are the test case. Why? Because we are the most audacious. Because we are the most pugnacious. Because we believe in America and we're not ashamed to say it. And because, generally speaking, we support this president. Now, you'll find some criticism on InfoWars. We don't like the recent spending bill that he passed, or signed, I should say. But you will find more objective investigative reporting on InfoWars today than you found at CNN for the last 10 years. I'm proud to be associated with InfoWars because of our courage, because we are not afraid of a fight, because we will speak the truth, and because we have no corporate masters telling us what we can say and what we cannot say. Now, I am going to undertake a lawsuit to sue the federal government to get to the bottom of whether or not, as the New York Times reported on January 20th of 2017, I was the subject of a FISA warrant. I'd like to know the probable cause for that warrant. I've never been to Russia. I have no Russian clients. I have no Russian contacts. I had no contact with any Russians in the years preceding the run-up to the 2016 election. If we are looking at a situation in which fabricated evidence...
InfoWars special broadcast, Alex Jones and Baines of the Swamp, live from Washington, D.C. Make sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help fight for free speech. And now, Alex Jones.
American history. It would be using the power and the authority of the state to spy on the nominee of one of our two major parties. That's interference in the 2016 election. And that is why they are pushing back so hard, because they are busted. Because the emails and text messages of Peter Stroke and his girlfriend and other records brought forward largely by the folks at Judicial Watch have demonstrated the naked partisan nature of this assault on our president. I'll be filing in the federal courts very shortly in an attempt to get at the bottom of whether I was unconstitutionally surveilled. I also, like Alex Jones, I have to fight a panoply of phony harassment lawsuits that are filled with lies, but that are peopled by Ivy League educated attorneys who know that they are in violation of their oath, but do so anyway for partisan purposes. Like my mentor, Richard Nixon, like my president, Donald Trump, like Alex Jones, I'm a fighter. I have no intention of rolling over to this attempt to strangle our free speech rights. Thank you.
All right, we've got two more speakers that are going to pop in. We're going to talk to Lee Stranahan. We're going to talk to Lucian Wendrich, the Gateway Pundit. Both those groups have been sued, the Gateway Pundit, but also Lee Stranahan, who's a syndicated radio host, TV host, and has a popular website. And he was the fellow that was on with Leanne on the television/radio program a few months ago, when we had the situation again in Charlottesville, and they simply said, who's this guy we see everywhere? All he puts out is Democratic talking points. Look how obvious they're not talking to any other witnesses. That's what we're saying. Just like the four high schoolers they chose to be PR people, and within one day of the event in Florida, they were already saying that that they were funded by the March for Our Lives, which was funded by the whole Soros Women's March, and they brag about that. And we simply point out, man, George Soros again, this guy never quits. Now, we've got Millie Weaver, one of our reporters here, and of course, one of our camera people, Gavin Wentz. And just for a few minutes, Millie, you didn't know you were going to do this. I wanted to just randomly get your take on what you think these assaults on free speech are all about, and what you think we can do to counter it. Because I think the obvious thing is there needs to be congressional hearings. There needs to be Trump needs to bust up these big tech companies that are anti-free speech. I mean, that's the action needs to be taken by the executive immediately, because this country is in clear and present danger. But you're one of our roving reporters that goes all over the country. What are you seeing across the country, just briefly? Millie Weaver.
Hi, I'm Millie Weaver. I'm a reporter for InfoWars, and the reason I brought this microphone up here to show you guys is there have been so many times that I've been accosted, spit at, had urine thrown on me by rogue people, especially Antifa groups, radical communist leftist groups, because of the lies and propaganda that the mainstream media spews about InfoWars and Alex Jones. So I get attacked because of these lies, physically attacked. Now, a lot of this this lawsuit that's been put against Alex Jones and InfoWars surrounds Charlottesville. I was there in Charlottesville. I was the InfoWars reporter on the ground reporting to you guys what happened. We all know that the mainstream media afterward decided to spin a biased, one-sided storyline that you had a bunch of rogue KKK extremists come and attack a bunch of peaceful protesters out there. What I can tell you is that because I had the ability to live stream and to broadcast on social media, which those broadcasts went viral, I was able to show what exactly actually happened out there in Charlottesville. The truth spoke for itself. Okay, there was violence on both sides, but I will say the overwhelming majority of the violence was coming from the Antifa leftist anti-protesters, the ones protesting people who were out there trying to stand up for protecting a statue. And yes, there were rogue elements on both sides. But one side came with pepper spray, tear gas canisters, ice chests full of water balloons with chemicals and urine and feces in them to throw. And that was depicted and caught through my ability to live stream, broadcast on Facebook, on YouTube, on these social media sites that they want to remove us from. I got the truth out there with Charlottesville. While at the same time, myself and my cameraman especially were pepper sprayed in the face for being InfoWars. I made it clear to both the Antifa and some of the radical elements on the alternative right side that we did not agree with any of their positions. We do not agree with communism. We do not agree with fascism. But what I told them was, I do agree with your right to free speech. Both of you guys have a right to be out here and peacefully protest. That didn't stop us from being pepper sprayed and attacked because of the lies and the propaganda that the mainstream media spreads about us in InfoWars. That's why it's so important that we protect free press, guerrilla journalists. All of us out here today who are in this room should understand and know the importance of our ability to go out there and tell the truth when sometimes the moral integrity of mainstream media is lapsed. Thank you very much. I appreciate the honor to speak here today. Thanks, Alex.
And hey, again, what a team, Gavin and Millie, and you can watch that incredible footage. And that's the point is, she's a woman out there being spit on, hit, attacked, pepper sprayed, and the police stood down and watched it. And hell, I'm surprised Soros didn't sue her. Because that's what we do. We go show what they did, and we go, why are they saying that the Antifa are these loving little sweetie cakes that didn't do anything wrong? And then we all get called Nazis when Millie was out there, didn't agree with either one of the groups. We made that clear. And then we're sued because we covered it. That's really it. Right now, we can't stream on our main YouTube channel because of fake strikes. They removed the other fake ones, but still, they left one of the fake ones up there saying that we said nobody died at the shooting in Florida. We never said that. They just lie about us because they're lying against all of you. Mainstream media is the fake news. These lawsuits are fake. They're defamatory. They're frauds, and they're going to be defeated. Now, we're going to go to question and answer here just in about 10 minutes. We've got two more speakers, and then my lawyer needs to go do some filings, so he's going to be up here first to take any questions in about 10 minutes, Andrew Grossman. But again, Lee Stranahan is here. He has been named in the lawsuit as well. And again, said nothing that they say in the lawsuit. They have just misrepresented everything, again, as pure bullying of the First Amendment. So, Lee, please come up here and speak.
Thanks, everybody. First, I'm a reporter, so I have to ask Millie a question. Because I was watching some of the footage. When you talked to the alt-right people, they told you, am I correct? They told you they're not in favor of free speech. Yes. You asked them about, do you think communists have a right to free speech?
That's right.
That's actually one point that I wanted to talk about that I forgot to talk about. The communists.
We have never met before.
No, we haven't. That's so crazy. The communists said. Yeah, so this was a very peculiar happening. The communists on one side said, free speech for us, no free speech for fascists. So essentially they can speak, but they wanted to silence the speech rights of the fascists or anyone they presume to be a fascist. The fascists, on the other hand, were out there saying free speech for us, no free speech for communists. And communists happen to be anyone they labeled a communist.
In Texas, it's David Nutt.
Keep on dying. You're listening to an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech. And now, Millie Weaver.
The reality is we shouldn't silence anyone.
That's what struck me. I was watching your footage. Yeah. You were wearing a hat.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're harder to recognize now. But hey, everybody, good morning. I'm Lee Stranahan. I want to thank Alex for having me, and I want to thank all the other speakers as well. We sit here this morning at a really interesting time on the precipice of the potential of a nuclear war. I want to say that really clearly. We're sitting here right now at the precipice of a potential nuclear war. And I say this as somebody who's got kids, but also as somebody who 5 years ago quit my job at Breitbart News to go to Lebanon to report on the Syrian conflict. I came back in 2013 talking about stuff I didn't see anybody in the mainstream press talk about. I was talking about a group called ISIS. I interviewed over there people from the UNHCR. I interviewed religious leaders, including Louis Sacco, the Patriarch of Babylon, who's the head of the Iraqi Catholic Church. I interviewed Muslim refugees, Druze, Christian refugees in the town of Malula. Now, I would love to show you that footage. I would love for you all to watch what I said about the Syrian crisis 5 years ago, but you can't watch it. And the reason you can't watch it is last year, my entire YouTube channel, 1,000 videos, 10 years of work, was taken down summarily by YouTube with no explanation on 3 community guideline strikes. Every video I'd made, including videos of my family, including the comedy videos that I'd made against the Republicans back before I worked for the Huffington Post, which I did, when I was a Democrat, all of my videos were removed, every single one of them. Now, I say this because I approach people, especially if you're here from the mainstream media, I'm going to try a different tack. I approach you as colleagues. I approach you as other members of the media who, just like everybody who's spoken, depend on something. You depend on the First Amendment. You depend on New York Times versus Sullivan, which, if you haven't read it, I would strongly recommend you read. You depend on things like Brandenburg. My lawyer's here. Is that correct? Am I getting it right?
Yes.
There we go. Brandenburg, right? You depend on these things for your livelihood. Now, I have a 10-year career of doing journalism. I came into journalism late in my 40s. I have done factual reporting for 10 years on big stories that the mainstream media frankly got wrong. The Anthony Weiner story is an obvious one. The John Edwards story is another one. And I have seen, and I host a radio show now on Radio Sputnik, and part of the reason I did it is part of the reason I work for Russia, I have never bought into the Russia narrative that I have seen drive us into war. We live in a very, very interesting time now because everybody watching this has one of these, whatever brand they have, and has the ability to fact check everything every one of us in the media says all the time. And the reason Alex has gained in popularity after, how long have you been doing this, 25 years now?
23.
23, right? The reason, I used to live in Austin when Alex was a local renowned person. The reason Alex succeeded is because he, when people look up the information he says, they often find when Alex is bravely taking on the CIA, is talking about things like MK Ultra or Mongoose or Northwoods, anybody can look those up. When Alex drops Carol Quigley's name, as he did recently with me, people look it up and they go, oh my gosh, what he's saying is completely right and completely provable. Now, time is short, we want to get to Q&A. So I just want to leave you with, I'm going to rip this off. This is from one of my favorite movies, People versus Larry Flint. I'm not asking you if you like or agree with the other people who've spoken. I don't always agree with them. But what I do like and what I do agree with is that we live in a country where you are free to listen to Alex Jones or to not listen to Alex Jones. You're free to believe what you see on InfoWars or to say that's a bunch of trash. We live in a free country. We hear that a lot, but I'm going to say it again. We live in a free country. And when you go back, particularly if in the mainstream media, to file your story, I want you to think about, don't just look at a lawsuit and look at whose name is on the defendant's list and go, well, gee, Alex Jones, screw that guy. Gee, a guy from Breitbart, screw that guy. Read the content of the lawsuit. Do your job as journalist. Because very soon you may find you don't have any freedom at all. And that's what I want to leave you with. Again, I ask you as colleagues in the profession of journalism, take this seriously. Because with the DHS list and everything else going on, you need to take it seriously. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Great point. We got one more speaker, and we're going to go right to your question and answers for another 50 minutes or so, and I appreciate everybody being here. Obviously, the folks that are here and watching online do take this seriously. But that's a great point. The whole rogue government, the whole rogue Justice Department that just raided the president's tower and his lawyer at the behest of Mueller. So again, now it's about women from 11 years ago in the whole Russiagate investigation. they're creating a database of all of the most influential liberal, conservative, Christian, you name it, right out of Nazi Germany, so that during a civil emergency, those people can be targeted. And they're creating a database of where they live, where they are. Now, I remember hearing decades ago this was going on. They had a roundup list during civil emergency, and a lot of that's now been declassified, admitted. Persons of influence. The Pentagon came out 5 years ago and said, we're not focused on bad guys. We're focused on people that are interesting, and we're tracking everything you're doing. And that's the rogue elements in the government that are doing that. And President Trump's been talking to William Binney and others, former technical head of the NSA, to curtail that and actually only go after people that are real threats. But it's something, again, the president needs to get involved in. The Google, Facebook, they're all censoring. They're all controlling the search results. A iron curtain of free speech suppression is already here, and it's getting more intense every day. So I, again, salute you all for being here. I want to thank everybody that's watching. You can get around the censors online on the live streams by sharing the links via your email or by hand or telling your colleagues about the live streams. Everybody's welcome to re-upload this on your own channels. Everything we put out is free to air, copyright free. My radio show, my TV show, David Knight, that's live right now in our InfoWars studios in Austin, Texas. The answer is citizens becoming journalists, citizens getting involved, and they can't stop a wave of red-blooded Americans, of people that understand freedom of speech. Now, Lucian Winrich is one of the great writers over at Gateway Pundit. They've also been sued in this asinine suit. Again, if you want to read the suit, we've got our brief to have it overturned, to have it thrown out there for you. It's very, very powerful. We also have it posted on Infowars.com and NewsWars.com. As we speak as well. But I also want to point out that Matt Drudge, in this whole fight, when no one else would cover the purge of conservatives on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, he has been hammering it. And so many times when we've turned back the censorship or gotten attention or gotten the president focused on it now to look at busting up these monopolies, it's been because of Drudge Report and, again, the First Amendment. So my thanks again to Matt Drudge, who many years ago, back in 99, spoke here at the Press Club and predicted so much of what has now happened and so much of what has now unfolded. So, again, let's bring up our last speaker, and we'll go right to your questions. Mr. Winrich, thanks for being here.
Hey there. So I want to start off by saying there's a certain irony to me even speaking at the National Press Club. When I first moved to Washington, D.C. about a year ago, I applied here for membership. My application included several stories that I broke nationally. My membership was blocked by the board here, who said that I've done too much damage to the reputability of mainstream journalism to be granted any sort of membership among the elites. Since the election of Trump, the mainstream media has realized that the lies and propaganda they've been spewing out for decades is not as effective as it once was. This latest lawsuit is part of their larger battle to control the entire media narrative and brainwash the American people. Gilmore, the man behind this lawsuit, wrote an op-ed for Politico shortly after Charlottesville, where he admitted he had ties to Soros. He admitted that he worked for the State Department. He admitted he was a far-left agitator. These facts that the mainstream media attempted to bury are exactly what we all reported on.
You're listening to an InfoWars special broadcast, Alex Jones Invades the Swamp, live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech. And now, Lucian Winrich.
Gilmore admitted the sole purpose of this lawsuit is to, quote, blunt the ability of conservative sites and conservative media to operate. This is the totalitarian nature of the left. Because mainstream media is not able to argue against the facts we present, and because the American public no longer believe their lies, they have now resorted to attempts at shutting us down entirely. If we allow the anti-American mainstream media to put an end to real reporting, then the future of discourse in America will be lost to cities populated by gender-fluid babies being protested by Soros because a trans woman of color murdered yet another police officer. I personally do not want to live in that sort of America, and I hope nobody does. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate nobody stealing my speech this time.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Mr. Lynn. That's right. Usually the leftists show up to steal people's speech, but this is kind of a little elitist National Press Club enclave. And I've watched the National Press Club so many times on C-SPAN. It's a great history. A lot of great people that are here. But you notice they took the National Press Club symbol off the lectern when we came to speak. And they gave Dr. Corsi, who's been a member here for 15 years, a little bit of trouble because, again, we've gotten so far here in America where, you know, maybe certain people don't deserve speech because the establishment, the mainstream, just like they told Mr. Wendrich, doesn't want you here. Think about why mainstream media is dying. They have not figured that out yet. They have not figured out yet that we want real choice. We want real diversity. All right, let's go ahead and go to the question and answer for the 45 minutes that we have left. I want to thank again all of you that came out today here to the National Press Club. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com, and we're going to go first to my lawyer, Andrew Grossman, because he's got to go for any questions you have technically on our motion to have this piece of defamatory anti-free speech fraud thrown out of federal court here in Virginia. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Suzanne Monk. I'm host of Trump Talk US. I want to thank you, first of all, for doing this. My question to my viewers is there any lawsuits, class action lawsuits, that are being put against the banners, against the people who are censoring us? This is one of our gravest concerns, that we find a way to actually be able to fight back. They're suing us. Is there any way we can sue them?
Well, you know, I think as this lawsuit illustrates, so many states have these anti-slap statutes that allow somebody who's being victimized by an abusive lawsuit to push back and say, you don't get to go to the courts to take action against people just because you disagree with their protected speech. You can force people filing that kind of abusive lawsuit to pay the attorney's fees, to be sanctioned. So, I mean, that's really where the legal ballgame is in fighting these suits one by one and making it clear to people that you don't get to go to court to fight over politics, to fight over beliefs. That's just not what it's for.
Counselor, what confidence do you have in the courts?
I raise that question. My name's Cliff Kincaid with America Survival TV, because we just reported on a group of Obama judges in the Fourth Circuit ruling that a war memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland has to be destroyed. It's been sitting for 100 years because it includes a Christian cross. This is what the courts are about now. You know it. I know it. So what confidence do you have in the courts that they're going to rule on the basis of law and the Constitution and not rule against you and Alex Jones because they don't like you?
You know, our federal courts are, it's a wonderful court system. There are some bad eggs here and there. There are judges who sometimes issue questionable rulings. But at the same time, it's a system that works pretty well. There's a lot of variation between the states. But I think over and all, at this point, with our constitutional rights, you generally get a fair shake. Not always, but generally.
Mr. Grossman, Jason Goodman from Crowdsource the Truth. The same individual who spoke to Alex about Martian slave children has brought a lawsuit against Crowdsource the Truth after we introduced evidence that he's engaged in felony charity fraud. Is there any way that I can bring that to the attention of authorities and have him brought up on criminal charges? Not as a punitive step against the lawsuit, but this seems like the lawsuit is an effort on his part to suppress that information and silence me.
I can't really comment on that because I'm not familiar with the facts of the matter. Obviously, if you have an attorney representing you in your lawsuit, you should probably speak with them about that.
Well, and of course, as you've stated, that's his goal, the punitive measures of the financial damage something like that would cause. But thank you for your answer.
Thanks, ma'am. Good morning.
So, a lot is going on. My name is Cherie Saber, Moms for Trump. It appears to me, Mr. Jones and everyone here, there will be a lot of lawsuits going forward. This is a very interesting time that we're living in, as we all know. The question, with all the lawsuits that are going on and that will be going on, my question is countersuits. Is there such a thing, simply, countersuits? Can people countersuit?
Well, this is exactly what we're talking about with this case and the anti-slap motion that we filed today. When somebody files one of these frivolous, abusive lawsuits merely to punish their political enemies, the way to respond to that in the states that allow it is to file an anti-slap motion to get that case dismissed and to sanction the other side for abusing the court system to punish their political enemies. That's the way, I think, over a period of time, that you change the incentives for this kind of litigation so that people realize that if they bring these kinds of suits, they're going to face consequences for doing it.
And let me just jump in, because that's the one point I should have made when I got up here today, is we have basically filed suit back against them with this filing to have it thrown out, then citing the SLAPP statute, the lawyer's here, but he can explain it if I get it wrong. That is a lawsuit. We are going for the damages of the cost, our time and energy, via this fraudulent suit. So I should have just opened this up by saying, we're citing the anti-SLAPP statute. This is clearly a textbook case. We're going to fight this. And then when it's defeated, which we believe it will be because it's so classically fraudulent, they will have to pay attorney's fees and some type of damages. So we are counter-suing. Is that accurate, Counselor?
That is right. We have filed an anti-SLAPP motion under the Texas anti-SLAPP statute as well as the Virginia anti-SLAPP statute. They both provide this kind of relief, and obviously we're very confident in our legal arguments. I think there's a last question in the back.
I'm sorry.
I'm Carrie Donovan from Populous Wire, and I was being sued by the same group that was suing Roger, just as a citizen. And we do citizen journalism at Populous Wire. And so my question is, I'm trying to bring people in and give them a platform to speak and, you know, post their stuff. And now I'm really kind of scared. I'm thinking, what can I do to help protect just the average American
citizen? That's the whole point. Now we're learning about all these little folks that are being sued. There's a huge underground campaign. You're an expert on this. Following us, how big is this iceberg under the water of Soros and leftist bullying?
I mean, we have seen more and more of this in recent years, of people, rather than engaging in public debate, simply going to court to challenge people and bringing defamation claims and emotional distress claims and things like that, then in many cases are unfounded. It is abusive. States are getting wise to that, and they're passing statutes to deal with that. There are some great resources online from the Recorders Committee for the Freedom of the Press and from some others that provide background on those statutes. There are groups that provide pro bono legal defense for individuals who are subject to those kinds of lawsuits and can provide advice on how to deal with them. There really are a lot of resources out there, but it is a huge problem and one that, unfortunately, is only growing.
Mr. Grossman, good morning, and good morning to the InfoWars team. It's great to have you guys in D.C. You know, as a citizen journalist myself, has kind of been encouraged, you know, to join the fight, you know, finding InfoWars and looking for the truth. You know, it's great to have you guys here. I'm just curious, you know, what you think about the modern-day legal profession and having, you know, lawyers for hire these days. You know, they're willing to file, you know, just about any type of lawsuit, you know, against, you know, free speech groups like, you know, Alex Jones and people fighting, you know, to get the real news out. What does it say about, you know, when millions of dollars are just brought to the, you know, to these lawyers and to bring these type of lawsuits forward? You know, what does it say about the profession these days?
I mean, everybody has a right to legal representation, both when they're, you know, subject to criminal charges, but also just as a general matter to represent them in whatever disputes they may have, to petition the government and so on. But at the same time, every time a lawyer signs a pleading before a court, that lawyer is certifying that there is a colorable basis for that claim and that it's based upon law and that it's based upon facts. And if lawyers are filing things that violate those certifications, they deserve to be sanctioned for that. There are rules that deal with this. There are, as I've mentioned, the anti-SLAPP statutes that deal with these kinds of speech-suppressing lawsuits. And, you know, that is the framework that we work in to address that problem. So, thank you.
Are you guys going to be filing any complaints against the bar for this frivolous filing?
It's not something, you know, that we're talking about now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, just to be clear, we have filed an anti-SLAPP lawsuit against this fraudulent suit filed by Georgetown and by the individual that they used to file it. And so that's really the big news here today, and I should have announced that up front. Can you just spend a minute technically explaining that to folks again? Because I...
Making sense common again. It's your host, David Knight.
You are listening to an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech. And now, Alex Jones.
Thanks.
Sure. We took advantage. The motion that we filed this morning is brought under, among other things, Texas's anti-SLAPP statute and Virginia's anti-SLAPP statute. Texas's anti-SLAPP statute provides for very fast dismissal of cases that are brought that challenge people's First Amendment rights, particularly their speech rights, and it permits fast dismissal of those cases if they're unfounded in law, if they're not supported by facts. And when a case is dismissed in that way, when it is identified by the court as being a slap, a strategic lawsuit against public policy, the court is required to reward attorney's fees to the defendant, is required to award costs, litigation costs, to the defendant. In other words, the plaintiff of the slap suit pays for those things. And then the court is also required to sanction the plaintiff so as to deter further abuses. That's the kind of motion that we filed today. That is the relief we're asking the court for. In our view, this particular suit is legally unfounded. It has no basis in fact. It is contrary to law. And on that basis, it is a slap suit. It must be dismissed. And my clients, Alex Jones and InfoWars, are entitled to have their expenses recompensed so that they are not the ones who are punished by this abusive lawsuit.
You have one more question, sir?
Yes, thank you. I'm Bob Cunningle, and I'm interested in the attacks on the First Amendment. I know you said that there's damages that could be awarded. How about punitive? Can there be punitive damages?
Well, the Texas statute in particular provides, in addition to costs and attorney's fees, sanctions. In other words, additional sanctions against the plaintiff to prevent them from undertaking the same sort of abusive conduct again. So I don't know that you would necessarily call that exactly punitive damages, but at the same time, it is at least of a similar genre.
Okay, I think we're going to switch
out. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, who's got the other mic?
Here.
Okay. Who?
Okay, again, folks, we're live broadcasting worldwide. A bunch of other people are transmitting out here as well. And the globalist horror, of course, hundreds of thousands are watching us right now just on these streams. That my syndicated radio show that reaches millions an hour is carrying this right now with David Knight. And here's the big announcement. We have filed a countersuit against Georgetown and this fraudulent suit. We are seeking, obviously, those damages. And we're going to continue with the Pepe the Frog filing against us. We're going to continue in Texas with these other filings. These are classic slap suits meant to shut us up. And that's why they're passing these laws all over the country, is to counter that. And so that's what's happening. And because we have to get to the point where these plaintiffs that Soros and others approach, Democratic Party approaches, understand they personally are going to get sued. And there's going to be major, major issues. And so we're also developing other state laws. Congress is looking at this as a form of racketeering in some cases. The president already has started to make moves against Bezos, who's quarterbacking a lot of this. He's lost $35 billion, so about $6 billion himself. Similar, $30-plus billion has been lost by Facebook. And that's just talking about breaking them up. So that's why they hate Trump. He's real. Is he perfect? No, but it's incredible what's happening, folks. Trump is fighting back against this. Any other questions?
Do you think they're just doing all of this just to cause you problems?
Can we give her a mic, please? Anybody like to speak? How about folks that want to speak? Come up right here.
Alex, about 2 weeks ago, Ole Damigard appeared on Crowdsource the Truth, where he presented damning evidence that the March for Our Lives applied for a permit about 2 months before the shooting occurred in Parkland. The video was removed, and Crowdsource the Truth has been banned from...
Well, come up here, sir, because I can't... I want to be able to hear you. Let's bring the mic up here, please, so I can get to folks. Just whoever wants to have a question, if they can just come over here, I can get to you easier, and that way everybody can hear you. Come on up. Now, I'm not familiar with your show, but that's the kind of stuff that they took down of ours, where it shows people saying multiple shooters, or it shows folks, you know, talking about how there was a stand down, which was later confirmed. That's what they don't want. But this is evidence I didn't know about. I would love to see it proven, because they have really been on this. Please come to the mic and tell folks what you're talking about.
Ole Damigard is an internationally recognized author and historian. He's an expert on political assassination.
It's the real news. Live from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
You're listening to an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech.
Recognized author and historian. He's an expert on political
assassinations, and he appeared on my show, Crowdsource the Truth, on YouTube, and he presented a document. He presented a document that was given to him by a contact of his within the Department of Homeland Security that indicated that a permit was applied for the March for Our Lives prior to the shooting. And he said this is a smoking gun that indicates that something happened there that differs from what we've been told. The video received an anonymous strike from people who think they've got First Amendment rights as anonymous avatars on the internet. We don't even know if that's a person. That could be an artificial intelligence entity. That could be someone operating out of a country that is not protected by the Constitution of the United States. And it denies me my constitutional rights to face my accuser and know what I'm being accused of. Thank you for letting me speak, Alex.
Well, I'm familiar with that gentleman's name, but I want to look that up. That is powerful information. Go ahead, ma'am. You had something?
Right here.
Okay. Hey, Alex. So I'm Fort Fisher with News to Share, which is also an alternative YouTube channel and website. It seems like there's kind of a fine line because we're talking about free speech, and YouTube itself is kind of a private entity. So you're talking about things like, well, they're censoring you or they're putting strikes against you. As a private company, does their free speech kind of outweigh your free speech? How do you kind of balance that out in the future?
That is one of the best questions of the day, because they hide behind that. It's called YouTube. And then they selectively enforce their rules. They constantly change them. They take down videos off our channel that have millions of views and don't even give us a strike or anything. And it just disappears. And we talk to a brick wall. They demonetize our videos, but still put ads on it. We've caught them and then basically engage in fraud, in my researched view. Google is set up by the CIA and the Interspatial Division of NASA. That's on record. So it's a public-private partnership, uses NSA database technology. It's basically a public NSA database that they get the public to interface with. And so under Obama, he handed it over to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the globalist. I can tell you at the highest levels, there's a war inside YouTube to remove those people at the president's order and to have it actually be fair. So they get everybody on there as the public commons. They get you there. You follow the rules. There's no nudity. You know, there's not the cussing, any of that stuff. And then they say, we've removed your video because you said no kids died. Then we have the video, and I didn't say that. But even if I said that, that would be through a court of law if that was really defamation. So expanding on your question, because it's central, they advertised to Congress when they got laws passed they lobbied for that they are a public utility, just like Facebook and just like Twitter have done, and that they then deserve to be operated like that and be given immunities, and that they're going to give people civil rights. So if there was a $500,000 court ruling because a gay couple didn't get their cake baked, well, I say you'll bake their cake, whatever, I'm a free speech guy, I'm a libertarian. But regardless, a small business shouldn't pay a $500,000 fine. But okay, they got in trouble because they didn't bake a cake $500,000. They're a private company, aren't they? They shouldn't have to bake somebody's cake. Oh, but YouTube can then go in and take down your video because it's got something politically embarrassing to them, or they can take down videos exposing Hillary, just like Google, the parent company, got caught meeting with Hillary's people in the WikiLeaks every day, fixing the search terms. If you looked up Hillary death list or Hillary murders, you'd get some bill they introduced in Arkansas in 1988. That's the total control. Google is gone. It's a worthless search engine now. It's crazy. You go to Bing and others, it's Microsoft, you know, they're still fair. They show a mix of things. They show whatever's most popular. But Reddit's being rigged now. Digg killed itself. They all kill themselves politically and kill the views because they end that real open commons. So we followed all their rules. We followed it in the open commons. Project Veritas got footage of high-level YouTube people, high-level New York Times people, high-level Twitter, Facebook, specifically saying, when they're sitting around at the bar at night bragging to a, you know, good-looking girl with a hidden camera, our main mission is stopping Alex Jones and people like Paul Watson. And they go, why? And they go, well, that's just our orders. Well, what else? Stuff for veterans or American flags. We ban those effing people. Okay, so, oh, they're just a corporation. Those effing Americans. Oh, notice you have a doodle for every communist and every socialist and every, you know, drug addict you never heard of on the Google Doodle. But it's not there now for Easter. No, but there's that for every little Islamic group or a woman that was for cop killing. They're on there. But that's the radical ideology the big corporation of Google, run by leftists, uses to take the SJWs programmed out of colleges and have them man the censorship. But that's only a computer program. They're not communists at the top. They're hardcore billionaires who are using socialism as a psychological, cultural virus to sabotage the country. Just like a spider bites you with poison, that's the poison being injected in. So this whole argument that, oh, it's their private corporation, they do whatever they want. They are force-feeding people information. They're engaging in lies. They are taking people's monetization away. They are putting ads over folks. I look, oh, we're not monetized, but ads are rolling. And then Google goes, oh, actually, we're just adding balance to it, where I'll have Washington Post ads running, and then I'm not being paid for them about how everybody's a Russian agent. And then there'll be another anti-gun ad. And then I look in the monetization, we're not being paid. And they go, well, that's how we balance it out. And now they put little messages over the videos to the Southern Poverty Law Center and things. So they're literally like, you know, the sky's blue. Now a message from the Southern Poverty Law Center. No, it's actually red. I mean, imagine them cutting in right now. Or imagine if you tried to talk. Go ahead and say something.
Well, I was going to ask, where do you go if YouTube completely bans you?
Okay, well, I have to just cut in first with fact checkers to see if that's even a real statement. Because all speech, California's introduced bills has to first be. So let's just have fact checkers, Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, open globalist offshore corporation with connections to all sorts of espionage for the globalists against America. Let's just ask them. You might get an answer back in 6 months. Is he even allowed to be here and ask that question, Southern Poverty Law Center? What was the question again I have to ask the Southern Poverty Law Center?
What are you going to do if YouTube completely bans you?
Is he allowed to ask Alex Jones what he plans to do if YouTube completely bans him? We have to fact check. Every statement on the web has to go through a filter, Chinese communist style, with a global social network score. Oh, you're not responding. Oh, our feed just cut. Oh, see how that works? See how that works? That's what they're doing. They're putting walls in front of you to end the discussion. All the big newspapers are taking the comment sections off their sites, even though it's killing their traffic, because they don't want you talking. They don't want you having speech. This is authoritarianism. It's here. It's hit us. It's real. Go ahead. Great question, sir. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, so I'll just mention one thing, because it is a great question. By the way, it's very hard to follow Alex Jones. I will say that. But if you ask yourself the following question, I have this from sources in Silicon Valley. I don't like to quote sources, but let me just say this. If you compare Google, if you compare Twitter, if you compare Amazon to where Microsoft was in the 90s, when the government brought an antitrust suit against Microsoft successfully, ask yourself, who's bigger? Microsoft then or Amazon now? Google now or Microsoft then? And the answer is obvious. All of these companies are currently much bigger than Microsoft is. So ask yourself why the government hasn't filed antitrust suits against them. Here's why. People have been threatened in Silicon Valley and said, you will either play along with us or we will file antitrust suits. Now, Google is absolutely scared to death of this. And again, look this up. They have a political lobbying group just down the street. Their political lobbying group had a group in who deals with market issues. They brought up, maybe we need to look at antitrust for high-tech companies. The people from that group were shown the door. They were immediately fired. This was the story a few months ago. So I will just say to anybody that one of the mechanisms that they're using specifically is the threat of antitrust legislation. And that's why I agree with what Alex said earlier. I just want to have an open discussion about antitrust. That's what I want to do. So it's a great question, but I want to point out one of the provable mechanisms. Ask yourself, after what they did to Microsoft, why haven't they done it to Google? Thanks, Alex, for letting
me in. Absolutely. And Microsoft, as bad as Bill Gates is for a lot of his globalism and eugenics, that was just an operating system on computers. There was all sorts of competition already coming in, but he was, 95% of the market. Now you've seen that broken up. Well, look at Google. It's got 90+% search results, and it's pure crap.
Listening to an InfoWars special broadcast, Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech. And now, Alex Jones.
Now they're censoring everything. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Jones, my name's Luke. I'm a reporter with Think Progress here in D.C. Obviously, Zuckerberg is scheduled to testify in front of Congress today and tomorrow. What are your thoughts on the kind of whispers that we're hearing about the potential for government regulation of big tech, because you obviously don't seem like a big fan of big tech or the tech left, as you said, but the idea that you would support any sort of government regulation in that sphere seems a bit far-fetched, I guess.
Well, here, it's a very complex issue. It would take an hour to go over it all, but I noticed Zuckerberg arrived at Capitol Hill yesterday, I guess had pre-meetings, and he had six armed guards around him and then more private security. But he doesn't want you to be able to have a gun and censors all the pro-gun channels and the rest of it with incredible draconian attacks. You just notice he's got bodyguards and jet helicopters and giant, you know, 6,000-acre ranches in Hawaii and trying to grab the natives' property. But he's a liberal, so it's okay. Now, expanding on that, we have a crisis here with big tech caught on record saying, the head of Twitter 2 days ago, we will crush speech of conservatives. We will crush you. So when corporations have armies of SJWs, when they're not hitting women in the head with bike locks and snorting methamphetamine, you know, before they go back to be the professors and write fake lawsuits, you know, when they're not burning something down, they are trying to burn down the First Amendment. And that's what they're doing. And so these are extraordinary things that are happening. This whole Cambridge Analytica thing, the day it happened, the day after it happened, it came out on a Saturday in The Guardian, I went on air on the Sunday show, and I said, they're such fools, they don't think a few steps ahead, just like these lawsuits. They're exposing a data mining operation that works for anybody for hire, a mercenary group, and they're trying to go, oh, look, this is how Trump stole the election, when Facebook, Twitter, and Google are giant data mining operations that are millions of times bigger in the amount of data and mining private stuff, reading your private email, breaking in your phones, tracking everything you do, telling you the terms of service. They're watching and listening to you over the television in your house. I mean, that's in all the terms of service. And the leftist press giggles because they're there going through all that. That's their super class. They get in there and they can read all your messages and get in your phone. And they're executives and they sit around and drink. And, oh, we're spying on everyone. Screw them. We're in charge. Oh, drink champagne. We've got all the videos. That's what they do. This is an authoritarian group of evil bullies. And they're going to go in the ash bin of history. And so you know what we'll do? We'll come out and call for your company to be broken up. We'll see how you like losing $100 billion. Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Bezos, and the Washington Post. Oh, you're going to try to overthrow the country and the people's election? You just lost $35 billion last week, Jack, and that's just the beginning. You like that? How about we knock you upside the head with the antitrust operations and see you crawl back in your hole? They've graduated a bunch of modern brown shirts out of these degenerate universities. There's no real jobs for them because of the deindustrialization, and their job is being our minders. And they all sit. Project Veritas has the video. We have it as well. We talk to these folks. They sit around and just go, America is ours. Just like you see Hitler when they invaded Poland, and there's a famous footage of him and Hermann Göring, and they're rubbing their hands together. You watch these Veritas videos hours, and they're just, God, we hate America, and these scum, we rule it all now. It's all ours. Oh, yeah. And so we got you. We know who you are. You think you're the intellectuals. You think you're better than us, but we've kicked your ass with our little platforms and our little phones, and you don't know what to do because your tech gods are dying right in front of you, and America's coming back from the dead. And you have an existential need to see America fall because you hate it, because you were the traitors hired to bring the nation down. And so that's the reality. We will win. You will fail. And we will break your asses up. Let's get ready.
Yeah.
Alex, I'm running for Congress.
Tell us who you are, brother.
I'm Johnny Rice. I'm running against Pelosi's puppet, Steny Hoyer, and puppet of the whole Democrat Party. And this is my biggest honor to meet Alex Jones. I've been listener of his since 2007, and he's the one that woke me up to politics, I mean, to what's really going on behind the scenes. And so I'm running for Congress to really push back the evil.
Good job, brother.
Help Trump drain the swamp. I've been thinking about running since 2014, you know, because of Alex Jones. Just to expose the fraud, but Trump really helped me just push me over the edge.
This is the time for action.
That now, it's like I'm sick of Al Green. I'm sick of Pelosi impeached Trump. You know, Al Green doing his whole fake Dr. King speech. I'm Christian Pentecostal. You know, most of the churches I go to are African American. So, you know, Dr. King, Booker T. Washington, these are my heroes. You're my hero. And
thank
so
you,
I'm praying I'm praying, let it be known in front of everybody, I'm praying for Alex Jones, for all this fraud to be destroyed, and that it switches, that you're lifted up higher, that your audience goes up. Now, I'm praying for you. I think if I can get your endorsement, and you don't have to tell me now, but I'm praying. Here,
we will talk. We'll talk after, too. I got to bring Roger Stone and others up so he can take his questions at the same time, because Roger's here. We got to go boom, boom, boom. So we got 15 minutes left. They're going to throw us out here. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. We get to do 10 hours. This is awesome. Should have started right out with the question and answers right away.
Well, don't forget, we're going to do two more hours at the
Mayflower. I totally forgot. And I'm going to have refreshments. I'm paying for refreshments because here's the deal. We had a bunch of overflow or folks that couldn't get in the press club. The Mayflower today, it's really 3 to 6, but I'm going to be there 4 to 6. And so refreshments, it's free. So we want to see you there, but only about 100 people can get in the room. So please come, and we'll have more questions and answers. I can have a debate with Kincaid, too. I love him to death, but he's always saying he's teasing, saying I'm connected to the Russians. Now, this guy, maybe. We got to get him.
Yeah, right.
I don't even use Russian dressing on my salad.
It's a joke. It's a joke. He's a Russian agent.
Get up there, too.
Kincaid, we're watching you.
Get up there,
too. Kincaid, how do we know you're not under Putin's control right now?
Well,
I'm joking.
I wrote a book a couple years ago exposing Putin.
I know. It's a joke.
I know.
Can you say crossfire for me? We'll be right back with crossfire.
Don't talk while I'm interrupting.
Don't interrupt me while I'm interrupting you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Here's the question, Alex. A lot of people, a lot of conservatives like what you're doing. They like what Roger Stone's doing. But the Russia thing is such a turnoff for so many people. And you got to admit it. You were a favorite of Russia TV a couple years ago. You've been on Russia TV, Roger.
Absolutely.
You've been using material from Russia Today, The Voice of Russia. I can go down the list. Lee Stranahan over here. Used to know him as a great reporter. He's working for the Russians.
Well, he admits that he's
he
a reporter.
It.
Sputnik.
I
challenge you to dispute a single fact I've ever said. If you
look,
let me say this.
Get up there.
I invite you on my radio show. We invite everybody. I invite you on my radio show to dispute a fact. Dispute a single fact I've ever said.
I don't go on the Russian media, number one.
Okay, right, I know. That's the
number two. You're such a good American. Why would you?
Let me finish my question.
Because the media will only pick up on this. I'm running out of time.
Because
it's ridiculous. Go ahead.
I'm just asking a question.
When
you go on the Russian media.
You're committing a logical fallacy, sir. Let me just explain. Attacking the source without attacking the facts is a logical fallacy. I urge you to take a basic freshman philosophy class, and you'll learn that what you're committing is a fallacy.
I was a philosophy major for 2 years.
Great, then address the thing you know better, and you're just dishonest.
Can I just say something? Because it always goes back to Russia.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
You're listening to an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech.
Economy coming back, our military being strong. Trump is crushing Russia with these energy moves. Everything else, it's pure crap. It was Hillary sold out to Russia. I've been exposing this constantly. The communist Chinese are literally trying to take the country over. They've bought up Hollywood. We're in an emergency situation. And this thing, it's almost like the new religion, like a Pharisee or something, to say, oh my God, he's worked for the Huffington Post. That's a real strike against him. I'm joking. And Breitbart, and yeah, he publishes stuff with Sputnik. I publish whole RT articles. A lot of times it's too leftist because they let us publish it. A lot of other foreign newspapers do as well. I publish some of the stuff from the Epoch Times, who are anti-communist, and obviously are fighting what the communist Chinese are doing. I've posted a lot more New York Times articles than I have Russia Today ones. But Russia Today had people on the ground when they were at the so-called chemical attack. I agree it's probably a false flag to get us into a war. I don't like funding the radical jihadis. UN admits that the jihadis have been staging chemical false flags. So when I go read a report and it fits in with the info and the information that people inside the Pentagon are telling me, and we have amazing sources, yes, then we publish that. But we also publish stuff from the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center that I disagree with. So it's just not intellectually a fair argument to say, look, he's gone on Russian TV. I've gone on Japanese TV 20 times. I've gone on Brazilian TV. I've gone on British TV. I've gone on CNN probably 15 times. It doesn't mean I agree with CNN because I go on CNN. It's what I say. It's what my fruit. Listen, Christ said you judge a tree by its fruit. I'm Americana. I'm free market. I'm red-blooded, fire-breathing, 57 Chevy, Marilyn Monroe. Give it to me. Good luck. I'm going right here. What's going on here? Go ahead. Hey, we got some other people.
If you give me a chance to finish my question.
I love Putin, I admit it. And George Soros killed Hitler. I love George Soros.
All right.
How do you top that?
So you think Russian media financed by Putin are legitimate alternative sources of news and information?
It's financed by the Russian government, and I challenge you. You still can't do it.
So you think...
Listen to my show. Nobody tells me what to say.
How much do the Russians pay you for your show?
How much do you get paid? It's none of your freaking business what I get paid. Not that much. Here's the thing. If in the morning, nobody tells me what to say. Nobody. That's why I quit Breitbart and quit Huffington Post when they censored Andrew Breitbart and when they wouldn't let me go to Lebanon, I quit. And if they told me what to say at Sputnik, I'd quit.
Hold on, because we got to move fast, or maybe get another hour, they'll let us, but they're going to kick us out. Here's the thing. I knew when we had Lee Stranahan here, he's one of the guys being sued, when I saw Kincaid, he's such a sweetheart, I knew this whole thing 2 hours ago was going to happen. So I gave him the mic so we get this out. But it's just ridiculous. That's the only guy around here with any Russian connection, and he's open about it. They don't censor him. And when I've gone on RT, they never, and by the way, they didn't like me talking bad about communism and stuff. So I think that's why they don't have me on. And a bunch of leftists over at RT. My God, RT was like pro-Hillary a lot of the time. I've seen a lot of crap on there, but whatever. It's just that, look, I'm a red-blooded American. What I stand for is what I stand for. And I know Roger's not a Russian agent. Now, Kincaid, we're watching you. You might be one.
So what? I want to say, so what if you like Russia? So what if you go on Russia? So what if you endorse Russia?
The issue
you're
here...
You're buying into the narrative that they are selling you.
This isn't about Russia.
Exactly,
this is about war over Syria.
Yeah.
This is about another endless foreign war where our inherent national interests are not clear. The opposition to Donald Trump by the deep state is based on the fact that he's not for more endless foreign wars. And because Syria is not worth a drop of American blood or a borrowed American dollar.
Oh, this is good radio. Let's invite Kincaid on for an hour next week with us.
Works for me?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
He's good on his feet.
Let's take Kincaid to Russia with us. Oh, my God. That'd be a great trip.
Get you one of those big hats. That'd be great.
Go to Russia.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, sir. I'm going to run to the wires. Look how I'm controlled by Russia. I'm running around like a maniac. No one's in control of me, not even myself. Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead, Roger. Have some questions for Roger.
Alex, my name is Jared Holt. I'm with Right Wing Watch. You have also been facing another lawsuit, namely over InfoWars incorrectly identifying the Parkland shooter as a young man in Massachusetts. Primarily, the suit hinges on the idea that InfoWars focused on the young man's photo with a Communist Party t-shirt that's like at Urban Outfitters all the time. Do you think this is also like fitting into this agenda to take you down by the who you call the globalists, or can you comment on that case?
Well, sure. I mean, here's the deal. We never published that guy's name. It was down in 3 hours. Thousands of other sites did it. It was screenshots of the Facebook. Then in the filing of the suit, they show someone else's website and say things that aren't true. So it's just like the other lawsuit. I mean, I talk to these law firms. We're fighting all these. There's just nothing there. It's a routine thing with other newspapers that do stuff like that all the time. They'll get a yearbook photo wrong. This happens. I mean, the law firm I have has handled it probably 1,000 times. And all it is you get a retraction, and then you have to ask the person, do you want us to put your real photo or name there? We never put his name like other media outlets did. We were chosen to do this. Turns out even some national TV showed the Facebook with the guy's name, later came out. They're not being sued. So it is 100% being done to try to create this illusion that we're fake news, to go over us with a fine-tooth comb, and to brand us as fake news ahead of basically the deplatforming of all media, but George Soros media, as he was caught in the WikiLeaks, admitting, he said, only our news will be pushed out if we can get Obama to give the UN control of the web. He only gave it partial control, but that's where we are right now. And so I appreciate your question. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I have a question for actually both you and Roger Stone. I'm a student reporter at George Washington University, your alma mater. I wanted to get your guys' take or opinion on what to do about this fight about free speech. I see it every day on campus. There's definitely a war on the right, on anybody with a different opinion. So what can we do to combat this with the students?
I think you submit to the bullies. I think it's good they hit people in the head with bike locks. The professors love it. Beat up women. Allow no speech. They're pulling down everything, saying they hate America. I say remove the American flag. Turn us into Venezuela. Totally collapse. And people can eat out of trash cans everywhere. And finally die 1,000 a week like they do in Venezuela. But they passed a law. You can't say they're dying of starvation, so it's not happening. You know, in 1984, they can even suspend gravity. So I want to live in North Korea. I want to submit to meth head professors. Would you like to say something? What should Trump do? I mean, he should bust up. Listen, here you go.
How do you top that? Jeez. And for my next number, no. Look, I want to say, I'm going to piggyback off your question. Some of you may know that last year I was censored by Twitter. I've been removed, banned for life from Twitter. Twitter's rules of conduct are relatively vague, meaning Keith Olbermann can threaten the violent assassination of Donald Trump, yet he is still certified and in a presence on Twitter. But I hurt Jake Tapper's feelings, and that poor little snowflake complains to Twitter, and therefore I'm banned for life. Now, you cannot be both the public square and a private company. Which is it? If you're the public square, then you have to guarantee equal access. What is their real vulnerability? We will ultimately file a lawsuit that demonstrates their manipulation and their uneven, enforcement of their own extraordinarily vague rules. Jack Dorkey can shove it. Thank you.
Let me hand this off. I'll hand that off to you.
Yeah, I think you got another question.
Yes, is Alex coming back in?
He might, but hey, you have a question for Roger?
No, a question for Alex, if we can open the door and perhaps invite him back.
He's asked me every question that could ever be asked.
I've already asked you this question.
All right, Alex, got one more question for you.
Go ahead. Get up
here. Alex, hi. Carl Golovin, domain reference, and idealibson.net. I have a question, an idea for you, really. There's another part of the First Amendment that empowers all Americans to peaceably assemble and petition for redress of grievances. And beyond free speech, what if Americans who are yearning for transparency and maybe even doing what John Kennedy said, June 10th of 63, pursuing a strategy of peace around the world, what if you put out the idea for millions of Americans to peaceably assemble here in Washington, June 10th, the anniversary of that speech by JFK, calling for transparency, calling for...
You're listening to an InfoWars special broadcast. Alex Jones invades the swamp live from Washington, D.C. Be sure to visit InfoWarsStore.com to help the fight for free speech.
You may know that last year I was censored by Twitter. I've been removed, banned for life from Twitter. Twitter's rules of conduct are relatively vague, meaning Keith Olbermann can threaten the violent assassination of Donald Trump, yet he is still certified and a presence on Twitter. But I hurt Jake Tapper's feelings, and that poor little snowflake complains to Twitter, and therefore I'm banned for life. Now, you cannot be both the public square and a private company. Which is it? If you're the public square, then you have to guarantee equal access. What is their real vulnerability? We will ultimately file a lawsuit that demonstrates their manipulation and their uneven... enforcement of their own extraordinarily vague rules. Jack Dorkey can shove it. Thank you.
Let me hand this off. I'll hand that off to you.
Yeah, I think you got another question.
Yes, is Alex coming back in?
He might, but hey, you have a question for Roger?
No, a question for Alex, if we can open the door and perhaps invite him back.
He's asked me every question that could ever be asked.
I've already asked you this question.
All right, Alex, got one more question for you.
Go ahead.
get up
there. Alex, hi. Carl Golovin, domain reference and idealliveson.net. I have a question and an idea for you, really. There's another part of the First Amendment that empowers all Americans to peaceably assemble and petition for redress of grievances. And beyond free speech, what if Americans who are yearning for transparency and maybe even doing what John Kennedy said June 10th of 63, pursuing a strategy of peace around the world, what if you put out the idea for millions of Americans to peaceably assemble here in Washington June 10th, the anniversary of that speech by JFK, calling for transparency, calling for peaceful reconciliation among the nations?
I think that's a great idea, and I think Trump was trying to have a peace movement, but his one big failing is, to a certain extent, he's getting manipulated by the military-industrial complex, a la what we just saw with this whole, you know, chemical attack. The Russians are pulling out. The U.S. is pulling out. Assad has defeated the Hillary Obama globalist Islamic invasion that was meant to knock Europe's doors down. And then there's a chemical attack so that now the U.S. can look at having strikes. They're saying even in the next day or so. I mean, I just hope that doesn't happen, but that's a great idea. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Andrew Craig from the Justice Integrity Project. Two quick questions. One, have you had a chance to meet with President Trump or any plans for that or anyone in his administration? The second question, quickly, is there are a lot of supposedly neutral intermediaries being created to fact-check people. As a commentator myself, I found problems with a lot of them. I wonder if you'd mention your thoughts to the extent time permits of some of these supposedly fact-checkers, Snopes, Poynter Institute, Anti-Defamation League, etc.
Sure,
questions, sir.
Snopes is a famous joke where they just say, this is the ultimate truth. It's like beyond God. Like God goes to Snopes to see what the lady's cat says. And it's the same thing with PolitiFact and all that stuff. I mean, they'll sit there and say things that are just patently not true and just lie continually. They've been turned into huge jokes. That said, I haven't talked to Trump in a long time. Last time I talked to Trump, I said, sir, you don't need to call me anymore to keep me on your side. Just keep the agenda going. I really appreciate it. And just please keep trying to check out our information. But I have gotten messages back from Trump through other people. So we're trying, you know, as best we can just to support Trump on the good policies where we don't support Trump to try to keep his feet to the fire. But we do have sources in the White House. We do have sources in the CIA, sources in the Pentagon, sources all over the place. So many we can't even keep track of it. I mean, we broke the Islamic connection to the day after to Vegas, all of them. And then the hostage rescue team gave us the info. People that were in the room, we got directly exactly what happened. It's now come out. So we just have amazing sources. But the president, he's just busy up there trying to be a cheerleader for the country and turn the economy back on. So I just leave him to his, leave him to his work. They did try to ban him seeing InfoWars, so he does read it more now, I'm told. Before, he only saw it sometimes or saw clips that people brought him. But now, since they tried to keep him away from it, I'm told, you know, he reads the New York Times the most, looks at Drudge a lot, and people are, you know, he still cares about what CNN says. But, I mean, he does look at InfoWars, I'm told, pretty much on a daily basis. So, but he looks at Drudge on, like, an hourly basis. But he does look at the stupid New York Times. I just think the New York Times is a joke. And then the president gives it too much credibility. Thanks. All right, we're getting kicked out of here.
Super quick final question for Roger. Given the Cohn raid that just happened, I'm wondering if you're scared that you're next.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about – I wanted you to specifically talk about – now they're so desperate, Mueller tips them off about a lady's underwear drawer, so they're raiding the president's lawyer over an affair 11 years ago?
Well, to address your question, I have nothing to hide. I know nothing about Russian collusion or any other inappropriate action pertaining to the 2016 election. I have recently agreed to cooperate with the Senate Judiciary Committee, even though I find their request for documents to be extraordinarily broad. I have over 1 million emails and documents pertaining to the 2016 election. You can definitely find me woven within the fabric of that election, but as I have said previously, and I'll say again just to get it on the record, I had no advanced knowledge of the content, source, or the exact timing of the WikiLeaks disclosures. I never received anything from WikiLeaks or Julian Assange or the Russians or anyone else. Now, but you got to get it on the record. Now let's go into Stormy Daniels. This is part and parcel of the effort to take down the president. The good news is that with a strong economy and the prospects for peace with the North Koreans, no one cares. They just don't care. And if they did, Bill Clinton would never have been reelected. Thank you.
All right, folks. Hey, let's just go till they kick us out, huh?
Yeah.
Now, we're already breaking everything down.
And now a word from the Russian sponsor, Mr. Kincaid. Seriously, folks, a few other questions, and I appreciate you coming out.
Oh, here, I got another mic. Here.
Doug Hagman, you want to say anything? Come to the Mayflower today at 4 o'clock. It's going to be a free-for-all questions.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Seth Siango. Quick question for you. You say that you want to create 10,000 more Alex Joneses out there, but the reality is that they're trying to silence you and those other 10,000. What fundamentally are the basic steps to those 10,000 right now that you would say this is how you protect yourself from situations like this? Just let, you know.
Well, listen, they can't sue a 10,000 Alex Joneses or anybody else. They're only doing it to a few to intimidate people,
right,
hoping we roll over. The answer is everybody's got to start reporting, starting your own website, your own platform, that you then go to these big mainstream systems and then get the traffic pointed back at you to then build a more complex ecosystem. So I think that's the answer to that, is everybody has to get involved in the free speech wars. This is the fight for the country right now.
Okay. Yeah, because, like you said, it's an intimidation factor. They're trying to intimidate. They're trying to keep you, keep your list.
And we're Americans. Are we going to let some old Nazi collaborator, I'm sorry, the guy that killed Hitler single-handedly, George Soros, right, the guy that created the Earth? I mean, the guy that, like, George Soros was actually George Washington. They froze him, they sent him back to World War II to beat Hitler, and then he's back here now. I'm being sarcastic because, you know, they say on CNN he wasn't a Nazi collaborator, and I'm a liar. So actually, they're right. Enough of the sarcasm. I'm sorry. It's just so ridiculous. Look, we're not going to let this SOB and these globalists and these knuckle-dragging professors win. We're going to go after them. We're going to get their funding cut at Georgetown because they are getting public funds. That's being looked at. We're going to bust them up. So we're fighting Americans, and we're going to win. God bless you.
Hello, my name is Matt from the Daily Informer. What do you think the elites are going to do when they fully realize that the spirit of the Lord and the will of people cannot be stopped?
Well, that's right. Well, the globalists used to be arrogant. Now they realize we're going to beat them, so they're fighting for their lives, trying to end free speech. So you make a tyrant act like a tyrant. They've now made those moves, and the people are waking up more than ever, and the more they squeeze, the more it blows up in their face. So just carry on, keep it up, fight even harder, have more of these public events in the real world. Get outside cyberspace and get out in the real world like you do. Have rallies, have events, have news conferences, have talks, have friends over to discuss politics while you have dinner and just, you know, have a barbecue again. And then take action. It's all about human communication, getting involved, going out and force multiplying. You see the country coming back. You see nationalism and populism and free market happening all over the world. So it's an incredible time to be alive. All right, folks, I'm going to be at the Mayflower today from 4 to 6 p.m. I got free refreshments there, and we're going to take more questions, more live streams. Everybody's welcome to come out there and just fight for free speech from inside the swamp. I want to thank you all for coming out. Infowars.com, Newswars.com. We're going to take highlights of this today with Paul Watson and Owen Schroyer hosting my show 11 to 3 p.m. Central. So that's coming up here in about an hour. So Infowars.com/show. They can't stop you getting the signal out. So again, thank you all for coming out. You're awesome. God bless you. Been amazing.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Mayflower, 4 to 6.